On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area. You might be listening on WBLQ AM 1230 in Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, or perhaps somewhere across the United States on cable radio network through your television, one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be glad you joined us. And before I say hello to my better half here in the studio, Benny Mathers, who lets you hear these wonderful conversations, kind of does his magic over there. I have to tell you, you got a little bonus today.
I do. I'm so excited. You don't even know. I can hardly contain myself.
That song that you heard a little while ago, the wonderful Gloria Loring, she is our guest today. And that very popular song is one of the many songs that she does. And I'm grateful that we got to share that with our listeners.
More to come. I'm actually starstruck a little bit. I mean, really, I am.
Yeah, and I'm really grateful for what you do over there with the magic
behind
all those computers and all those keyboards, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'm grateful that you joined us here today because we're going to have a wonderful conversation, and we're going to be talking about coincidence. My guest today is Gloria Loring. She is a singer, songwriter, recording artist of the number one hit song that you guys got to hear before, Friends and Lovers. She's the co-composer of television theme songs for Different Strokes and Facts of Life, and I bet you guys are already singing those songs in your mind right now. She is an actress, and she was a favorite on Days of Our Lives. She played Liz Chandler, and I have to tell you, my mother only watched one soap opera all of her life, and it was Days of Our Lives. When my father lost his job, he joined in. He loved Days of Our Lives. You know, when I grew up, you know, late teens, early 20s, I was watching one soap opera, Days of Our Lives, and so it's great that she was a part of that. She is now an author, a keynote speaker. She's sung on the Emmy Awards, the American Music Awards. Her newest book is a wonderful book, and it's called Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous. And I'm so grateful that she's here today. Thank you for joining us here, Gloria. Gloria Loring.
Hi. It's so nice to talk with you.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. And I'm loving your book. It's such an insightful book because you really open up. You become very vulnerable about where you were in your life at different stages. You know, sometimes when we look at people on the screen, whether it's a television screen, a silver screen, or, you know, doing music videos or concerts, we think life is easy or life is easier. But what you've done is you've opened up and shared with the reader all the things that went on in your life that made it very difficult.
Yeah, I think there are people who, you know, looked at me as a young singer coming out, and believe me, I tried very hard to envision myself as this perfect person with the perfect blonde hair and the perfect dress and the perfect this. But what I was hiding was a very diminished sense of self. I had to try so hard to be perfect because I was so completely convinced that I was so much less than perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to work very, very hard. And of course, there's a defensiveness with that. And what I found was that as the years went by, events and people came into my life who helped me grow beyond that. And that's really the sum total of what I'm talking about in this book, is not only what happened to me, but how each of us can use coincidence, the coinciding of meaningful events, for our own growth, our a deepening of our sense of life and what's possible and what's true. The quote is, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. Sounds like it might be by a religious leader, but it's actually by Albert Einstein.
I love that. I love it.
I know that when I first heard the quote, I was telling the story to a person like you, a journalist, who was interviewing me because we had raised $1 million for diabetes research with the Days of Our Lives celebrity cookbooks.
Right.
My son, Brennan, had been diagnosed with diabetes, and a year later, I joined Days of Our Lives. And I noticed people were trading recipes, actors, and I had this idea to put together a cookbook. Well, I'd never published anything, but all the help I needed was just beyond my fingertips. I just had to reach out a little bit, except when it came to the money.
Okay.
I had to have $40,000 to print 50,000 copies, because we had 10 million viewers.
Right.
And 24 hours before I met the man again, because I'd met him years before, coincidentally, I met the man who helped me underwrite the cookbook. 24 hours before, a little business card that said, "Expect a Miracle," showed up as if by magic in my dressing room. Now, at Days of Our Lives. Now, to this day, I asked, but no one would fess up. No one would tell me they put it there. I don't believe it, you know, materialized.
Right.
But somehow the coinciding of the Expect a Miracle card with meeting the man who helped me raise $1 million to keep my promise to my son that I was working on doing something about his diabetes, all of that coinciding started to open my awareness. Because, you see, I was raised in a home where there was alcoholism and some things that should not have happened, which I detail in the book, I call inappropriate sexualized contact with my father when he was drunk. And these things happen to a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, being willing to tell our truth in a non-blaming, non-shaming way. Just mm-hmm. say, this is what happened. This is how it affected me. That moves hearts and minds and opens people up to their own healing. Because
Absolutely.
Whatever gets kept in the dark doesn't have a chance to heal. I mean,
yes.
we know that if, you know, one of the things they say is if you have a wound, you've got to let a little, keep it covered for a while, which uh-huh. we do, because uh-huh. at first we're so shocked.
Right, right.
But then eventually you got to get some light and some air on it.
Yeah, and what you said was really important about not from a place of blaming and shaming, because we stay in victim role that way. And so, you know, by coming to terms with what happened to us, and instead of pointing fingers, turning it inward and saying, now what are we going to do with this?
Yes. So here's what happened. Toward the end, I had finished my book. It took me 10 years to write it.
Uh-huh. And that's okay. That's true for so many.
It took a long time because uh-huh. I kept putting it aside because I thought, oh, well, nobody's going to want to read a book with the name God in the title by uh-huh. Gloria Loring, because I'm not a theologian or a licensed psychiatrist
uh-huh.
or any of
right,
that.
Right.
But I'm a human being
uh-huh.
who's had enormous amounts of growth
uh-huh.
propelled by coincidings that came into my life. But uh-huh. My sister at the time, this is over 4 years ago, had cancer, and she did pass. But uh-huh. she was reading some of my book, and we were in the editorial process, and she said, but Gloria, what about when coincidences are bad? Because I was recounting
yes.
a lot of things that led me to healing, and her healing was not happening. It was actually getting harder and harder. And she said, what about when the coincidence is bad? Is that still, you know, does that still hold up under your theory? And I said, well, whether something's good or bad, she said, you know, why do those things happen? I said, mm-hmm. we can't know.
Yes.
That's an unanswerable question.
Right.
What we can do is say, what is this asking of me?
Mm, oh, I love that.
What is this asking of me? Because almost always it's asking us to have patience,
mm-hmm.
to have compassion,
uh-huh.
to have forgiveness,
right.
maybe for ourselves.
Yes.
Maybe we put ourselves in a dangerous situation and something happened and we want to be angry at someone else. There was a young woman years ago that I knew, and she was attended a concert I did, and we were talking, and there were people all around, and all of a sudden we started talking. She started to faint.
Oh my goodness.
And a couple of us grabbed her, and we took her over, and we got her some water. Are you okay? What do you mm-hmm. need? And one of the other ladies said, I'll make sure she gets back to her hotel. And she called me a couple of days later, and she said, I hadn't told anyone, but I was raped last week.
Oh.
And I said, oh, my God. Of course, you know, with my own background, like, ugh. And even
yeah.
then, I
oh,
didn't
yeah.
know that background. I just knew that my heart just caved in when I heard that happened.
Right. It's like we've got this connection with people who've been victimized that same
yes,
way.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And anyway, and so I said, oh, my God, you know, that's terrible, terrible. Have you told anyone? And she said, well, no, I did tell one person.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's good because, you know, you need to share this. And she said, well, I told my brother.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, it's probably your fault. And she said, I punched him.
Well, good for her.
Now, but here's the thing. She didn't. The first person she told was
uh-huh.
not someone like me who would go, oh, no, darling girl, that's
yeah.
so terrible.
Yeah.
She told the first person who she could let out her own anger by hearing that voice that was inside her,
yes.
blaming her for having been in this situation.
Right.
I don't even remember what the situation was, but blaming herself
uh-huh.
for this violence that was perpetrated upon her.
Right.
So she chose to tell the one person, because I said to her, when you think about it, did you know that would be his reaction?
Uh-huh.
And she said, yeah, actually, now that you say that. And I said, good, you chose him so you could be righteously angry.
Uh-huh.
He got to reflect back to you, coincidence, coinciding of meaningful event.
Right.
He got to reflect back to you that which you could not say and punch yourself out for.
Right. And also internalizing the messages of society as a whole. You know, that's
yes.
Because that concept is rampant.
Because because what happens is, see, we have the conscious thought, you know, oh, I've got to do the grocery list. I've got to do this. I'm so angry at so-and-so. But there's a whole other, what I call subterranean foundation of thought that's going on that happened when we were children. And it's like somebody else programmed our computer with these messages because we were almost pre-conscious. Maybe we were 2.5 or 3 or 4, and people treated us in a certain way, and we decided, oh, if they treat us that way consistently, it must mean this about me, because they're the big ones, and they must be right. So we've got, at the same time we've got our conscious thought, we've got our subconscious, our subterranean messages. And what we can do is we can watch who we bring into our life consistently, and what happens, what keeps getting fed back to us, because what keeps getting fed back to us, or what we find are inciters of grief or anger or rage, are little coincidings of messages for us. If I'll tell you, before I really unearthed the fact of what happened with my father when I was 3, and that's in chapter 8 and 9. I cover that. So for those who are wondering about their own experience, it's a really good. I've had so many letters from people saying that really opened them up in some ways to attend to their own healing. But I was somewhere, and they were. Oh, I was at a an auto body shop, and I was waiting for my car. And these two guys were sitting and talking, one of them behind the desk and the other, and they were talking about a girl at Hooters who sued the manager for putting his hand on her bottom. And the one guy said, well, what did she think? She's going to work there. She deserves that. I got so enraged. I stood up, and I don't even remember what I said, but it was really rude. And I stomped out. I was completely enraged. I couldn't control it. Well, I had this rage about being violated. That it wasn't like I said, guys, that is, you know, reasonable, intellectual, you know, but my rage indicated that there was a hot button inside of me that hadn't yet been calmed down, been heard out, had been comforted. So you see, coincidence, when something's meaningful for you, it may have a message of guidance. Or it may have a message about some internal issue that needs addressing.
And it's funny because I've been writing a blog series, and I did an interview on the Dr. Pat Show about this as well, the top 10 myths about spirituality. I think people often in sort of the religious and spiritual communities think that emotions are not spiritual, that they're not like soul-led. And what you're saying is just really resonates with me, because there's always guidance in the emotion. It's either like, okay, stay away from that, or that's good, you know, like I need more of that in my life, you know, whether it's positive or negative emotion. But also it can indicate the wound within us that is being illuminated to be addressed.
Yes, and the interesting thing is these opportunities, we won't pay any attention to them until we're strong enough. So sometimes people get to a point where they finally address their healing. I said, God, I've been getting clues for years, and I just kept ignoring it. Oh, I'm so stupid. I'm so bad. I'm so mad. Whatever. That nonsense. And but the truth of it is, the instrument, the body, psyche, spirit, will protect itself until it is strong enough. It's like you put a cast on a broken leg. The body does that on the spirit. It holds you up. The spirit holds you up. Something holds you up and says, you're not ready yet to face this. It's too big. You're not, you don't have your armor on yet, your armor of strength. That's why spiritual practice, see, this whole thing about emotion is bad or good. No. It's just energy in motion. I read that years ago. I went, oh, that's so cool.
It is great.
Energy in motion, all right? Now, the same energy, spirit is energy. The same energy that creates rage creates love. It's just energy, but how it gets, it's like a page that you decide to color blue, or you decide to color purple, or you decide to color pink. And it's just this energy that comes up, and I got something happened yesterday that I got so enraged about, I'm still, I'm not going to say, I'm still kind of delineating and confronting it, and you know, there was a little build up, and it was just the wrong thing at the wrong time, and I need to forgive someone, and I need to forgive myself. I didn't do anything irreparable, but I was like, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah, I don't care. I got 27 years of meditation practice, and every day I start again. You know. But that's what you. That's what we have to do. We're human beings. We're not perfect. Uh-huh. And all we can do. There is a perfection within us. There is. What's that great saying about be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? Well, that we say worship that in spirit and uh-huh. in truth. Uh-huh. And the truth is we are told that the kingdom of heaven is within whatever right. whatever yeah. path you follow, uh-huh. that inherently we are made in the image of that presence and power and love.
Yes.
And that's available to us. Right. And there is a place within us, a place of peace, that is sacrosanct, that nothing ever touches.
Yes. And a place that also is very loving and compassionate toward the self. Because
yes,
we have
is.
A tendency to be so self-judgmental and you know, feel like we're not worthy of that love and compassion. But
yes.
that presence within indeed loves and accepts us fully.
Well, my 27 years have been spent studying and utilizing yoga philosophy along with my own practical experience. And yoga philosophy tells us that there is the self, which is spelled with a small s.
Uh-huh.
That's the individual that has ego, that it lives in this body, etc. But then we are also the self, part of the great self, which in Christian tradition is called the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we are there's just this wonderful coherence between all the major spiritual understandings that, you know, do unto others, because when you do unto others, you're basically doing unto yourself.
Right.
We are part of a continuum, and the same patience we have to give to others, it's a great thing when we can turn around and give it to ourselves. And all of that can be and all the sense of all of that can be enlarged by understanding that we are a part of what Carl Jung called the connecting principle, which was mm-hmm. his word for God.
Right. And I love that concept. I know you talk about that in your book quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's because it puts it in a sort of scientific realm,
uh-huh.
so you don't have to be a believer or a non-believer,
right,
you know,
right.
none of that stuff,
yeah.
no dogma, just there is a principle, a first cause of connection.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if you even look at science and it says, okay, there was the Big Bang, we were all, everything was like all together and then went, pooh,
mm-hmm.
and expanded all over the place. Well, that's sort of the creation story, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all connected at one point.
Yep.
Every atom is connected to everyone else, more or less, greater or lesser. And all we get to do in this life, if we want, is to keep coming back to the core understanding of who we truly are.
Mm-hmm.
We are children of the Most High. We are children of the same beauty and depth and truth and magnificence that created this entire universe, and we don't even know where it ends.
Yeah.
And in truth, we don't know where we end either.
Mm-hmm.
So to put labels on ourselves, to squash ourselves down, well, I'm not this, and I'm not that, and mm-hmm. I can't do this,
right.
that's so unfortunate when that's not the truth of our being. We've seen people who have overcome such great challenges and limitations and used that for good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, is we can, everything that comes into our lives is a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them teach us what not to do. Some of them teach us what to do.
Yeah. And with that, we're going to have to go to a quick break. But when we return with Gloria Loring, I'm going to ask her how she defines coincidence and how we can tap into that for the benefit of moving forward in our lives in more positive ways. More with Gloria Loring here in just a few moments.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit lynnbrownevent.com. That's lynnbrownevent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Epcher Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. That's the wonderful Gloria Loring singing that song that, you know, it's one of those theme songs that has stuck with me, Benny, for years.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I'm a product of it as well.
And I haven't watched the reruns in a really long time either, but I still love that song. And I'm loving my guest, Gloria Loring. You know, Gloria, I do adore your book. Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous. And you talked a lot about some of the coincidences in your life that have unfolded. How do you define coincidence?
Well, I did give a little bit of that. I would say it's a coinciding of meaningful events. What would be a coincidence for me might not be for you, because you wouldn't find any meaning or any little, what do I want to say, like a little dart, you know?
Right.
A little something that just kind of picks at you, like, what is that?
Yes.
So when a coincidence gets your attention, I sort of delineated the four D's of how to look at a coincidence and look a little deeper. So the first one is they're determine, discover, define, and do it.
Okay.
So the first one is determine if something that happened has a message for you.
Right.
And you have to think, you know, this is contemplative stuff. You have to think more deeply. You have to take some time at the end of the day and say, what happened today? You know, two people today said something to me.
Uh-huh.
Determine, does it pique your interest? I can't get that out of my head. I keep thinking about when so-and-so, I turned the corner, and that just kind of stays with me. Because it's almost like, you know, you've got Velcro for an issue, as I mentioned earlier.
Right.
And something, you know, it's one of those little Nerf balls, kind of hits your Velcro, and there you are. Now, then discover, are there any additional clues? Was there something you read in a book recently that said a similar thing that you remember thinking, gosh, that's a great quote. What? That's so interesting. Is there a pattern that's come up?
Mm-hmm.
Have several people or events brought this to your attention? There's that great, great little story that is, if somebody tells you you're a horse, if one person tells you you're a horse, you ignore it. If two people tell you you're a horse, forget about it. If three people tell you you're a horse, get a saddle and get ready to ride. You know, so this whole thing, like if three people tell you that you should read a book, you're probably supposed to read that book kind of thing.
Right.
So determine if there's a message that's staying with you. Discover, are there any additional clues? Now define the message. as I mentioned earlier, what is it asking of you?
Uh-huh.
Is it asking patience, forgiveness? It won't go away. You keep mulling it over. You keep going over it, because it may be something that hits an internal issue, or it may be giving you some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And either one, it can be an internal or an external bit of coincidence that is coming. Your intuition is your inner coincidence, guidance, okay?
Uh-huh.
Is it asking you to do something? Then mull that over. What is it asking you to do? Does it feel good and true and kind?
Uh-huh.
Does it feel like something that will promote your growth or someone else's growth? Is it timely?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it thoughtful? Sometimes the most thoughtful thing is keeping your mouth shut.
Uh-huh.
And maybe the coincidence that has come in is because you've been thinking, well, I really need to tell so-and-so. And then you start to think about, let me think more deeply about this.
Mm-hmm.
Define the message. This, if I really were to tell so-and-so that her husband is doing such and such,
mm-hmm.
would that contribute to her good?
Yes.
Would that contribute to my good? Is this something that's their journey and they need to find it out?
Uh-huh.
And sit and try to see it all the way through. So define the message and then do it. It might be keep your mouth shut and let go of the issue. It's not yours to solve.
Uh-huh.
I'm a solver. I always want to fix everybody.
Right.
Coming from an alcoholic home, oh, I want to
sure.
make the world a better place. You
yeah.
know?
And that's how you had safety, for, like sort of paying attention and trying to control the environment.
Oh, absolutely. I used to be a person that if something was out of place, like my shoes weren't lined up
uh-huh.
a certain way, or, you know, I had to have everything padded down, I would feel a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I'd feel a little upset
yeah.
because I was always trying to control. And that's a big issue, too, for some of us. You know,
uh-huh.
we're so much trying to control the outer because the inner is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can work on a spiritual practice where we sit and listen to ourselves, start to become aware that inner voice is that voice of the inner self with a capital S
mm-hmm.
that may be saying, here's something that needs healing. I'll give you an example. Before I discovered what happened in my childhood with my dad, I was something, and I don't remember what the precursor was, but I was standing in the middle of my bedroom, such a visual, powerful visual that stayed with me, and I was sobbing, I mean,
mm-hmm.
but just bereft sobbing,
mm-hmm.
and so grief-stricken, and I heard myself say the words in a little child's voice,
uh-huh.
I'm all alone, I'm all alone,
uh-huh.
there's no one, there's no one.
Oh, dear.
And I heard myself, at the same time I was completely feeling that grief,
uh-huh.
I heard myself like with another part of my being,
mm-hmm.
and that wiser, larger sense of self said, but Gloria, you could call Peggy. Peggy was my sister.
Uh-huh.
You could call Beth. Beth was my best friend. There are people you could call.
Mm-hmm.
And I took note of it at the time.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't time yet to unearth what that was about. But I took note that there was something in me that felt all alone and another part of me that was bigger than that.
Right.
And that is the truth of our being.
Yeah.
There is that which comes up as an emotional response. But we're always big enough. We house all of those emotional responses.
Mm-hmm.
We house the grief. We
right.
house the joy. We house the rage. We house the wanting revenge.
Uh-huh. Sure.
We're big enough for all of this. And ultimately, because we are connected to that which made the universe, we are beyond knowing big
mm-hmm.
enough.
Right.
You know,
right.
there's no limit. So knowing those sorts of things, that emotions that come up can be listened to, can be comforted. We have to, I think as we get older, we learn. Many of us learn to become our own comforter.
Yes, I think of it as self-parenting.
Yes, self-parenting, being your own best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're saying bad things, oh, you're so stupid, I can't believe you did that again. And we're talking
uh-huh.
to ourselves,
uh-huh.
oh, you should have, no, you shouldn't have heard the way I used to talk to myself.
Right.
Oh, my God, it was terrible. But I got to the point where I would hear myself, you stupid, and I'd
mm-hmm.
say, Gloria, stop. I'd step outside to the larger self, and I'd say, Gloria, you're not stupid. You made a mistake. I talk myself down off the edge of the cliff.
Right.
But I had to do that because as a child, I felt stupid and alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there's so many of us who have those elements going on in our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, one of the things you were talking about before that I find so fascinating is control. It's like you were talking about being in a household with an alcoholic and being in a situation where you really had to sort of do your best to control things. There's so many people who've grown up either learning that control is the best way to get things done or in order to sort of survive as a child. Can coincidence and control be together simultaneously?
Well, sure. Well, you know, the illusion that we control this life.
Yeah.
Oh, please. I mean, any one of us can see that we were marching down a certain road and then this enormous obstacle just jumped in our way.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we can learn to control somewhat is our responses to things. Again, that comes into that realm of moving into the larger self, stepping back and saying, okay, if I were going to be my best self in this moment, mm-hmm. what would the most loving thing be to do? Is it to tell the secret or is it to keep my mouth shut?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
I used to be one who loved to tell secrets. Uh-huh. Oh, boy, did I learn the hard way. Yet don't do that most of the time.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So you move into that larger sense of self and you learn that what you really are in charge of is just your own reactions, your own. Eventually, you become more in charge of your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know a lot of people will sit down and say, okay, I'm going to learn to meditate. And they sit down for 3 minutes and they suddenly see all the things they're thinking. And they go, oh, well, obviously I can't meditate.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the equivalent of a little 10-month-old or 11-month-old standing up to take his first steps and falling on his butt and saying, oh, see, I can't walk. That's
yeah,
it. I'm done. What meditation does is it helps us become aware to the background noise that's been going on in our thoughts. I remember when I was early on in the meditation process, I would say maybe I was in less than a year, but I had established a daily meditation practice. And I sat down one morning and everything was good.
Mm-hmm.
My bills were paid.
Uh-huh.
My husband and I were getting along. My
uh-huh.
kids were cool. Nothing was broken, you know.
Right, right.
I felt like I had it all under control. And I sat there and I started doing my breathing. And within a minute, I became aware that I was wrestling with the only unresolved issue in my entire life. Somebody owed me some money and refused to pay me back.
Uh-huh.
And I started wrestling with this issue. God, I can't believe I'm going to break your work,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went, oh, Gloria, 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 you're meditating. Put that down.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and inhale and exhale. And the next thing I knew, I was back wrestling with the only unresolved issue in my life. And I suddenly saw, almost with a sense of humor, I have a negative mind.
Uh-huh.
I have a mind that wants to go, and it's the good thing and the bad thing, wants to go and fix the one thing that's not fixable.
Right, right.
So we become aware of what we're doing to ourselves, the agitation that we're enhancing in our own lives. And we eventually, through many years of practice and study and corroboration by other people who are on a similar path,
mm-hmm.
we learn that we can trust this universe, that we can trust ourselves, that we don't have to catastrophize the minute something comes up.
Right.
And all of this will be reinforced by once you're emanating a certain kind of energy, you will start to attract those kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Good story.
Hold that thought because we have to go to another quick break. But when we return, Gloria's story, and also she's going to share some information about how coincidence has come into her life in some pretty amazing ways. And I can't wait for you to hear some of these stories when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
She had taken his chair from the table. He had taken his name from the door. He said, honey, I'll see you next weekend. All I heard were Hurries footsteps across the floor.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I just love Gloria Loring's voice. And I just love the fact, Gloria, that what you've done is you've gone from singer, actress, to philanthropist, to helping to change the world in a variety of ways. And you're sharing with the world your perspective on coincidence. And before we went to break, you said you had a wonderful story about your niece. So I'd love for you to share that.
About how, you know, we're the center of our experience, and when we start to see patterns of coincidings come into our life, we can then understand what's actually going on.
Uh-huh.
So my darling niece, this is a number of years ago, and she went to a therapist because she was really having trouble. She was in another difficult relationship with a man who did not respect her,
mm-hmm.
and she was starting to see it a little sooner. But you know, he is nice to me sometimes, and he does this, and
uh-huh.
but then he does this. And,
right.
and so the therapist said, okay, wait a minute. Let's think back over the boyfriends you've had, and all of them have treated you without any respect.
Mm-hmm.
And think of all of those men. Is there anything they all have in common?
Uh-huh.
And my niece stopped for a minute, and she went, oh, me. And she started to see that she was the centerpiece, that
uh-huh.
somehow, for some reason, she was inviting with her own energy and thought, subterranean thought process about herself, she was inviting people not to respect her.
Right.
And the sooner she saw it and said, no, no more, if it was the first date, if it was the first conversation, and say, nope, not for me. And gradually, she got those relationships out of her life. Mm-hmm. Because she started to learn how to take care of and respect herself. Of course, again, she'd been raised with alcoholism in the home. So we get neglected or, you know, just really neglected, abused, neglected. And so she had to make that change. But she had to see that she was the center of her experience. It wasn't so much the other people. It was that she was actually acting as a magnet because her energy was about disrespecting herself.
Uh-huh.
That's a big lesson.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge
and that's
lesson.
A hard one to get. And to really, when we take responsibility for that, then we step toward a modicum of control, you know, quote-unquote control.
Right. So, you know, I just love some of the stories in your book about how coincidences come into your life. You get a great story about what happened when you were in the midst of separation and impending divorce, and somebody unexpectedly came into your life and helped to shift things for you. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yes. Her name is Shirley. She's from Lincoln, Nebraska.
I used to live in Lincoln, Nebraska when I was a kid.
Good place and good people there. And Shirley and I met briefly when I was there for a book signing for the Days of Our Lives Celebrity Cookbook, Raising Money for Diabetes Research. And she handed me a letter that was so filled with compassion about my son's diabetes because her daughter had a mild form of epilepsy. And so, you know, she said, I really, as a mother, I want you to know I am with you in my heart and this and that. Man. So months go by. And suddenly, when I wrote her back, I did write her a thank you note when I got back, because I just took the letter at the book signing. And then I wrote her a letter back and said, thank you so much. I want you to know I shed tears of joy to know that someone like you understands what I've been going through, et cetera. Months later, I get a letter from her. Now, unbeknownst to anyone in the world except me and my then husband, I told him I want a separation. I knew I was headed toward divorce, but I had to do it in my own way and my own time.
Right.
I had to get that courage up.
Yeah, and I was get
feeling,
that.
Yeah, I was feeling the power of breaking up our family, but I knew that I couldn't. I knew that I couldn't survive there with the way things were.
Right.
Anyway, I get this letter, and this Shirley says, I've been thinking about you, and I have a prayer time, and I've been getting messages that I need to share with you. And she sends me two pages of these messages that are addressed to my dear daughter. I am watching you. You are not alone. And, you know, here, I'm the girl standing in the middle of the bedroom. I'm all alone. These letters, when I broke down sobbing with joy, not grief, with joy, I didn't know how she knew to send me these, but they continued from within a month of my asking for separation through the time when my divorce was complete, two and a half years. I received these letters every couple months from her because she was getting these prayer messages. Now, just to cut to the chase, she got a message as she was driving to her prayer circle one night.
Okay, so this is before you guys had ever met, right?
Before we met, before the book signing in Lincoln, Nebraska. She said, I was driving, and I suddenly heard a voice that said, you must tell Gloria I love her and that everything will be okay. And she said, I said to the voice, I don't know anybody named Gloria except that woman on Days of Our Lives. And where in the world am I going to meet her? And the voice said, wait and see. And that night at the prayer circle, one of the women said, I don't know why, but I'm being prompted to tell you that Gloria Loring is coming to the mall this weekend to sign her books.
Wow.
Now, if there ever was a great coincidence story, that's it.
Yes.
Exactly what I needed most in this world, to feel that there was a loving, benevolent presence in the world looking after me during this time of great separation and disjointedness. It was there for me.
And the coincidence, it's interesting to look at this situation because the coincidence relates to you and receiving the messages, but it also relates to her receiving a message and playing a role. So you were both doing this dance with the magic of coincidence.
She said it was really hard for her to send that first letter off to me because she felt as if she was going, that I would think, she, what did she say? She said, like, I think she was a Looney Tune.
Uh-huh.
She thought I would think of her as a Looney Tune, sending these prayers and blessings to her. And no, not at all. I still have the original letters that she sent me 30-some years ago. And even now when I read them, my heart is so expanded and filled with joy and love when I read them. And sometimes a tear comes to the eye to know that there's that much love in the world, and there is. And it's up to each of us to find it in our own self and in our lives.
Yes, and you know, you shared at least some of the letters in here, and it brought tears to my eyes as well, because I think this is a message that many need to hear. And so by you writing this book and teaching people via your autobiographical, you know, stories, you're sharing that love. So that coincidence that you're both involved in has this ripple effect. And I thank you for that. And so any quick message for our listeners in like 30 seconds or less?
Every chapter of my book has a song associated with it, and all of those songs are on a CD called Turn the Page, which is on my website.
Right.
And also the book is on Amazon.com. I've gotten such wonderful letters from people saying that the book helped change their view of life and what is possible for them. Right. And that's the best reward of all.
Yeah, and it's a very powerful book, and it's filled with some interesting tidbits, too, because, you know, the book is entitled Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous, Reflections on Daytime Dramas and Divine Intervention. And so you've been working in a realm that people are very curious about, interested in, and so we get to hear a little bit about that. But you've done it in such a raw and open way. We feel connected to your life because, in a sense, your life is our life as well. And I'm so grateful to you for that. I want to also share with our listeners what your website is so they can find their way to you.
I know. Pretty obvious. GloriaLoring.com.
Okay. And I'm going to spell that out because we do have listeners from like 70 different countries. GloriaLoring.com. And again, Gloria, I want to thank you for being on the show today and for doing what you're doing to help shift the world.
Oh, thank you so much. We all have such good work to do in this world, don't we?
We do. We do. And I want to thank Mr. Benny Mathers for playing his role today and the behind-the-scenes wonderful Peggy Snow. And I want to thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.